24 23 06 pour des réservations. Il n'y a pas de repas, mais seulement le spectacle.
CKUT shut down our studios for the safety of each other. Gradually, we adapted and found ways to continue to produce programming that reflects our shared experience, physically distanced but socially connected. Help us keep that connection by donating to CKUT. Call 514-448-4013. Pop a check in the mail, 3647 University Montreal, H3A2B3, or donate online at ckut.ca.
Welcome everyone to our 12-hour extreme fitness class.
I'm just here for the juice.
I'm here because I got lost and found the building.
Thank you for that.
You're so welcome.
So, when comes the juice? Well, first we need to...
I'm bored. Bye. I feel like going into the adventurous world of self-confidence.
Interesting.
Wait, but what about the...
Woohoo!
We're going to listen to CKUT. You're listening to Anything Goes, the show by kids, for kids, all kids radio on 90.3 FM. Smell you later.
Yay, let's go. I quit.
My name is Andrew Hazen. When I was 7 years old, our grade 2 class was chosen to participate in a skating program sponsored by the Montreal Canadian Bleu Blanc Rouge Foundation. It was a 5-week program, and once a week we would go on the ice with instructors who were helping us to improve our skating skills. For the first few weeks, I was nervous because I had very little skating experience. But with the help and encouragement of the instructors and my father, who came on the ice with me, I slowly started to gain confidence. And by the end of the 5-week program, I improved a lot. I learned that if you try hard and don't give up, you may be surprised with what you can achieve. This is the advice that I will give to someone lacking confidence. Don't give up, have fun trying, and most of all, believe in yourself. You'll go farther than you ever thought possible.
My name is Bram, and this is a piece on self-confidence. In life, confidence is good, but too much confidence is bad. Overconfidence eventually turns into arrogance. That basically means you think too highly of yourself. I've never had too much confidence. The issue with me is not having enough confidence. For example, I seem to be underconfident according to some people. By the way, underconfidence is bad too. Underconfidence makes me not try things I really want to try. For example, a few days ago I wanted to try and make a meal all by myself, but I didn't because of my underconfidence.
The car jolted when I hit the brakes, only inches between my bumper and the bumper in front of mine. My heart knocked at my chest. My hands fumbled for the radio dial, turning left all the way until its destination. As the music left the air, car horns and the rattle of metal filled it. The traffic that filled the small country road was strange, a lineup of 11 cars, bumper to bumper, in a single file, stood waiting for the path to be cleared. I looked over to see what was blocking the way. I saw a metal beast, crashing parallel to the horizon. It bellowed out steam from its engine, leaving a trail in the sky as far as I could see. The tree line hid the front and back of the train, but it was visible where it crossed the road. The train was a multicolored blur, dulled by dust and leaves. If I twisted my head quickly in the direction of the train's voyage and focused my eyes on a single part, I could make out the windows. Instead of the usual black blur that accompanied its gray counterpart, the in-focus windows revealed out-of-focus passengers. The traveler silhouetted against the opposite side of the train car's windows. I only managed to focus on one before my neck could twist no further. She seemed to be young, looking down at something in her lap. Perhaps it was a phone or book. I was unable to unearth any other details given her silhouetted nature. The train had been going for a minute. I sat back in my chair and rolled up my window so none of the kicked-up dust or car horns could get in. I now resided as the fourth car from the train. The grass to the side of the road revealed where the other eight cars had gone. It hadn't come across my mind that I could leave. I wanted to stick it out and beat the train. Also, watching the colors fly by was mesmerizing. Although there was nowhere to go and no cars to watch out for, the dial on the radio still remained at zero. I did so because I knew that whenever I remembered an event, I also drudged up any music that was playing at the time. I wanted this event to stay pure, no foreign sounds to accompany it, only the sound of the roaring beast. I was content to just watch as it went by. A pain was beginning to arise in my neck, but I still flicked it to the right every now and again to glimpse a passenger silhouette. But I was trying to glimpse something more. After 16 minutes, I found myself second in line of cars. The place of those who failed were filled by other random commuters. I was staring into the blur of colors when it suddenly vanished. The car in front of me jolted forward to get to the other side. But it came to a sudden stop as soon as the train blew its massive horn, shaking me to my bones. How the conductor saw the car, I will never know. Only after the horn did I realize the train was still crossing. The passenger cars had only morphed into flatbeds. The driver in front of me must have been looking at the windows as well to not have noticed. The thought that the train might end deeply conflicted me. I was excited to get home from a busy day, but something like this would never happen to me again. I shuddered to imagine any existence without this train. What was the point if it ended? The awesome show of power, with its time-spanning length, would all be for naught if it suddenly ended. I would be for naught if it suddenly ended. The road was covered in a thick layer of dirt dust. My shoes sank into it. Every step kicked up a small cloud. I walked past the bonnet of my car to the tracks. At this point, there were no cars in front of me anymore, so the walk was short. I felt the power of the train as I stepped closer. It not only carried passengers and train cars, but a wind as well. After bending my knees and extending my arms out, I was ready. My legs compressed into a spring, my arms tensed at my sides, and I jumped onto the train.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket.
My name is Jared, and this is a piece on self-confidence. Self-confidence is really believing in yourself and knowing who you were, are, and want to be. It's not so much being cocky and knowing that you are the best at everything. It's more like knowing you can do your best at something and having a good attitude towards anything you encounter in your life. I can say that I've had trouble being confident in some cases. For example, when I'm finding out my score on a test I know I did not do so well on, or when I have to talk about something I'm not very enthusiastic about. I know some people who are a little bit overconfident in some cases. For example, just recently when I had to work on an experiment in the science lab for science class, one of my teammates was being kind of bossy because she thought that just because she comes up with an answer, it is automatically right. Confidence is key, especially when you're trying to achieve something important or something you have always wanted to achieve. If you do not believe you can do something, why would you even try to do it at all? My brothers tend to be overconfident and underconfident at certain times. For example, when my younger brothers and I are playing a game, sometimes one of us already knows that we're going to win the game because that is how people are sometimes. I am sometimes over and underconfident myself, but when you are the person doing it, it is hard to realize that you are the one out of line. It is hard to admit that you had done something wrong, but the people who can do it show that they do not care about being wrong as long as you are willing to say so and make things right. The people who are not willing to admit things show their overconfidence by not being willing to admit them. It can be hard to stop being under or overconfident, but once people do it, they realize how different it feels to be a nice person and go with the flow whenever you need to.
Portmanteau Off, the game show where two contestants have to figure out which one can make the best portmanteaus on the spot. For all you who don't know what a portmanteau is a mix of two words. For example, the words chill and relax together make the word chillax. Anyway, so here to talk to us is our judge, Andrew.
Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew, and I'm the judge who's going to be scoring the contestants' portmanteau. Back to you, Matthew.
Thanks so much, Andrew. And now for our first contestant, Jared. Hi, Jared.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
How about you? Feeling nervous?
No, I'm in the zone.
Oh, always glad to hear that. Feeling ready for some portmanteaus?
Absolutely.
Well, with no further delay, let's get started. You will have 10 seconds to come up with the best portmanteau you can. And your first portmanteau. Cheese and gesture.
Gesture.
Don't forget, you have 10 seconds. You can come up with even better ones.
Hmm.
7, 8, 9, 10. Sorry, Jared, your time's up. Okay.
I said gesture.
Well, gesture. Judges, what do you think of that? Cheese and gesture make gesture. And what is your mark? The judges have tabulated their scores, and they say you have a 2-on-3 for gesture.
Okay, next one.
Your portmanteau is Joker and Sphinx.
Sphoker.
For Joker and Sphinx, Jared says Sphoker. Judges? And the judges have tabulated the results, and they give you a 1-on-3 for Joker. Next portmanteau, let's make things a little harder. Kangaroo and poker.
Pokeroo.
Wow, the judges have given you a 3-on-3. Next, you have restricted and recovery.
Restrict-a-covery.
Judges, you get a 2-on-3 for restrict recovery. And now your final question. Get ready. This is a hard one. Your portmanteau is anti-disestablishment terrorism and quinquennial.
Quinquennial.
Your time's already started.
Quinquennial establishmentarianism.
quinquennial establishment terrorism, judges. And you get a 3 on 3. Thank you so much, Jared, for coming.
I was in the zone. Goodbye.
And now for our second contestant, Massimo. Hi, Massimo. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you?
Good. Without any further ado, your first word is calendar and medium.
Mulender.
Mulender. Judges, you get a 2 on 3. Your next words, bacon and metamorphosis.
Baconforphosis.
Baconforphosis, judges. 3 because it's good and 3 because it has the word bacon in it. That's a total of 3. Next word, hygienic and extraterrestrial.
Extra hygienic.
Extra hygienic. The judges have tabulated their scores and give you a 2 on 3.
Well, the judges obviously don't understand true art when they hear it.
Thank you for that random answer. You have just been docked 1 point for that snarky comment.
Well, you can't dock marks from perfection.
And I just did again. Your fourth portmanteau is silhouette and renegade.
Renouette.
Renouette. The judges say you have a 1 on 3 for Renouette.
I believe that the judges are biased after I pointed out their tomfoolery and not understanding true art.
Well, let's see if your true art works for this. Well, the judges say deal with it. And next up for your final portmanteau, anti-disestablishment terrorism and quinquennial.
Quinstablishment.
Quinstablishment.
Yep.
Well, you have a 3 on 3.
I believe the judges have found the correct way to do things and have learned from their horrendous mistakes of misjudging art.
Well, the judges are putting together all the final scores and we will soon see. Well, he says that be thankful that you got a 3, and if you talk like that again, he will deduct another point. So I believe the judges will be now tabulating their final scores. Who will win? Snarky Massimo or In the Zone Jared? For the final score presentation, Andrew! Okay, so between In the Zone Jared and Snarky Massimo, who is one?
Snarky Massimo has a total of 10 points. And In the Zone Jared has 11!
So this means that In the Zone Jared has just won the portmanteau.
I want to congratulate Jared and to say just one more time, deal with it, Snarky Massimo.
And now, the bonus portmanteau for our judge, Andrew. Kanye and upstaging.
Kanye staging.
Kanye staging.
It's worse than upstaging. It's like the next level of upstaging.
So what do you guys have to say to that?
That was terrible. It should be upstanye.
Wow, thank you so much. And that was the last word from our winner, Jared. And Jared, the winner, receives a dictionary and a thesaurus. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Portmanteau. This has been Matthew. Have a nice day. For a sign-off, goodbye. I'll call it a sign-bye.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CQUT 90.3 FM.
Hi, this is
Sam
and
Saul.
And we're the Conspiracitizes.
Because that's a word?
Yep.
Anyway, today we'll be talking about
the Bermuda Triangle.
That's right, the biggest mystery of our time.
And we're here to solve it, maybe.
The Bermuda Triangle is a triangle between Bermuda, the U.S., and Puerto Rico, where boats and planes have been randomly disappearing. No distress signals sent from in there have ever gone out. John Hutchington, a scientist, thought that some sort of electric fog was causing planes to crash and making boats to sink, and making sure that any distress signals didn't go out.
Also, there is another triangle in this world. The water in the water. The Devil's Sea, a.k.a. the Dragon's Triangle.
Basically the Bermuda Triangle, just not in Bermuda.
That's all of the time we have. Signing off.
My name's Matthew, and this is the role of mysteries in our world. Mysteries come in so many different forms within our world today. Some of them can be really cool and intriguing parts of our lives. Our past and even the present are filled with unknown wonders and hidden secrets. Most of them lead to conspiracy and questioning, giving tons of different opinions and ideas. Mysteries are really fun due to how involving they are and how they grant people a way to engage in fun discourse, conversations, and let people come up with their own creative ideas. One of the popular mysteries in our world today is the existence of Atlantis, which is still discussed and relevant today. In the end, these mysteries can spook and intrigue, letting all feel interested and letting people discuss about events with better discourse, a lighter tone, and their own opinions. Mystery can also span farther than our own history and our world today. Mysteries are so powerful and encapsulating that we dedicate an entire section of our literature to it. Detectives such as Sherlock Holmes, Hercule Poirot, Tintin, and more let us experience our own adventures and keep us thinking and wondering as they guide us through the mystery. Murder mysteries and mystery games are also incredibly popular, showing us how much we care about mystery as a whole and how mystery plays a role in our world. The great thing about mystery is that it can also interest anyone. It has no boundaries, and people can get curious and bring different discourses and conversations all around these mysteries and the games. Even though there are these lighthearted and great forms of mysteries in our world, there are also bad ones. However, these two can have an impact on our world that can be more or less positive and negate some of the harms. Mystery can simultaneously reveal problems within our world and solve them at the same time. When people feel this lack of knowledge and want to learn more, they'll explore these mysteries until a solution or an answer is found. This is such a strong and powerful tool when things in our world aren't correct or as they should be. If there's this largely suspected scandal or a mystery around certain events, people will push to find the truth and the real information. Not all mysteries are good, but for those that aren't, it's great how we, as a global, national, provincial, municipal, or local community, can fight to solve them. Whether it's the disappearance of Khashoggi, a political scandal, or more, the world will always fight for the truth and the best for all peoples. We don't do this out of the love for these mysteries and the crimes and all these things, but we do it for out of the hate of how they hide the truth. As well, these mysteries stop us from arguing in our petty quarrels in our lives today and let us settle our differences to come together in the search of the truth. That's why I believe mysteries are so important and play a large role in our world.
Hello, class. Miss Waltz couldn't be here today, so I'll be her sub. My name is Mr. S-E-A-M-O-R-E-B-U-T-T-S. Seymour Boots. I see. When I first started teaching, I was told I'd have to change my name or the kids wouldn't respect me because my name spelled Seymour Butts. But I didn't. You know why?
Oh, pick me!
Okay, George.
Damn it, your name's dumb.
That's not nice, George. You shouldn't say that.
Thank you, Tim. Why do you think I didn't change my name?
Because you really shouldn't have to.
Excellent. Now that that's out of the way, let's start class.
Okay.
It is Friday, so I don't see why having a free period wouldn't hurt. But instead of letting you do what you please, we'll be listening to something very special.
What is it?
Why, we'll be listening to Anything Goes on CKUT 90.3 FM, also available online at ckut.ca.
Oh, isn't that created and performed by Bram Lachman-Minkoff, Jared Lachman-Minkoff, Andrew Hazen, and Matthew Homa? Also, isn't the technical production by Tawa Menene Tardif, produced by Sarah D.A.? Oh, and I think they'll be seeing you next month, too. You've been listening to Anything Goes. We'll see you next month.
It's Anything Goes, the show written by kids, for kids, all kids radio.
On CKUT 90.3 FM.
drum,
Shut up.